Good evening. It's good to be able to stand before you one last time as we come together to worship God. And we need to remember while we're here, we are thinking about the future and our departure, but we're here on the Lord's Day to worship God. And I hope that we can bring honor and glory to Him as we do that. I've been thinking the past few weeks about what I might do as a final lesson here with the brethren, and I got to thinking about how that sometimes when individuals get up and they are required to give a speech, that a lot of times they will quote from famous individuals. They'll quote from a president. It might be like a graduation speech or inauguration address, or someone has to stand up and give a speech and we'll make a quotation. So they'll quote from JFK or Martin Luther King, or somebody will quote from maybe a well-known coach or military leader, something like that. And I got to thinking about what I might say as a farewell address or farewell message. And I got to thinking, well, if I'm going to quote somebody, I'm going to quote from the scripture and I'm going to quote from Bible characters. And so I got to thinking about that. And what I'd like to do this evening is, as a part of my last regular message with you as a regular evangelist here, is to look at some individuals in the Bible who had a farewell address and pull out some things that they said. And I want to look at three in the Old Testament and three in the New Testament for our admonition this evening. And I got to thinking about, if I were to say something, I really could not improve on what's already been said. And so I want to take from others and look at some of those positive comments for our admonition this evening. I also got to thinking about, you know, the content of the message. It would be tempting to just look back through 21 years and pull out some nice memories. That would be tempting. It'd be tempting to talk about the relationship that I have with all of you and some of the stories that I could tell, even if they were church-related. You know, that would be encouraging. But really, my job as a preacher and a minister is to bring God's Word. And so we need to focus on God's Word. But I wanted to tell you that it would be very tempting just to pull out some personal anecdotes and stories and things that have happened through the years, and that would be encouraging. But I'm to preach the Word, and so we need to have a Bible-based lesson. But understand that all of you have a dear place in my heart, in Sherry's heart, Carlin's heart, really all of our family. Growing up among you through the years has been very encouraging. I think about Solomon's writing there in the book of Ecclesiastes, that the latter end is better than the beginning. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. And that's an interesting Bible passage. If everybody is living right, then the end of a matter is always better than the beginning. And I hope that I have left this congregation better at the end than we started at the beginning. If you'll turn with me to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, I want to look at six farewell speeches in the Bible. That's not all there are. There are others that are really good to look at, but I'm going to look at six of them this evening. And we're going to start with Moses, if you'll turn with me to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, particularly if you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. I want to look at some farewell addresses. Moses, Joshua, David in the Old Testament, and then we're going to look at Jesus, Paul, and Peter in the New Testament. When we come to Deuteronomy chapter 31, of course, Moses has brought the Israelites across the wilderness there, and they are now on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They're on the plains of Moab. They're right ready to go into the land of Canaan. They'll do that in the book of Joshua. They'll cross over into Canaan land. But there's the repeating of the law. Deuteronomy. Deutero is second, and then the middle part of that word, law, Deuteronomy. The second law, this is the second giving of the law, and then additional laws that are given. And we remember the story here, how Moses was told, because he disobeyed God back in Numbers chapter 20, he struck the rock to bring forth the water rather than speaking to the rock. He was told that he could see the land of Canaan, but he was not allowed to go in. And so we're at this point in his life where he's going to pass away. He's going to go up into the mountain, die, and there be buried. He would not be allowed to go into the land of Canaan. And so we have his final charge, if you will, to the people and to Joshua, his farewell address. And there's really, this runs from chapter 31 all through chapter 33. And there's a lot of good that is mentioned here in chapter 32. It's called the Song of Moses. This is a song that deals with a warning to not be unfaithful to God. Deuteronomy 33 is the blessing of Moses, where he talks about different things that will happen in a good way to the Israelites if they will be faithful to God. And then, of course, the death of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 34. But what I wanted to read was the first few verses of Deuteronomy chapter 31. And I would like to consider this as a part of my farewell address to you, good brethren. Deuteronomy 31 in verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. And Jehovah hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Jehovah thy God, he will go over before thee. He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt dispossess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as Jehovah hath spoken. And Jehovah will do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, the kings of the Amorites, and unto their land, whom he destroyed. And Jehovah will deliver them up before you. And you shall do unto them according unto all the commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be affrighted at them. For Jehovah thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt go with this people into the land which Jehovah hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And Jehovah, he it is that doth go with thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And then Moses causes the priest to come near, and he tells them the importance of reading the law every 7 years, and the people need to hear the law. Verse 14, he tells them that some of them are going to be unfaithful in the future, and they will fall away from God, and that's going to cause some problems. And then look at verse 22, Deuteronomy 31, verse 22. So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. The first thing I would say this evening is, be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Whatever you have planned in the future, however you go forward, however you progress in this congregation, I would say, be strong and of good courage. Fear not. They're about to embark on a very big thing, and that is to cross over the Jordan River and to go in and have to conquer people and fight nations, and that would be a very difficult thing. But Moses said twice, God will be with thee. He's going to go with thee. He's going to be with thee. And that's true with this congregation and any congregation of faithful saints. As you move forward, God is with you. So be strong and of good courage. And you think about why say that. Why is that a good thing to say right before you die? And by the way, just about all of these farewell addresses in the Bible, with the exception of a few, all of them have to do with someone who's about to die. And it's an interesting thing. If you had one last thing to say to somebody, whether it's your deathbed or like this situation where we're moving to another congregation, what would be the last thing that you would say to somebody? It's really a great thing to think about. All of these messages are great spiritual messages. So here Moses is about to die. He has one last thing to say. What does he say? Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Don't be scared about what's going to happen in the future. Just take each day and each week as it comes and do the Lord's work, as we talked about this morning, and be strong and of good courage. We have to be strong in moving forward. There's going to be challenges here. There's going to be challenges where we're going. I've already met with the elders, and they've mentioned some of those. They already exist. There are things that we have to face. And we have to be strong and of good courage. We can't just buckle and cave in. We can't just simply give up. The Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6 to be strong and in the strength of his might and put on the whole armor of God. We've got to be strong Christians. It's talking about spiritual strength, not physical strength. And be of good courage and don't fear. We can't fear the future. The devil can cripple us with fear. We just don't want to act. It immobilizes us like a deer in the headlights. We just don't want to move, and then we end up getting run over. We have to be strong and of good courage. Whatever spiritual battles and challenges lie ahead for us, let us be that way. So the first thing that I would say this evening is, I would say, be strong and of good courage and fear not. The Lord is with you. And if we are doing His word and His will, He will go with us. And Moses repeats that again in verse 23. Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them. And that's exactly what we're going to see in just a minute. We're going to look at Joshua's farewell address here in just a minute, and we know that God did that. That promise came true. God was with them. They were able to go in and conquer the land. But they had to be strong and of good courage. What did it take for them to go around the city of Jericho? What did it take for them to go around the city of Ai and all of those other battles? It took strength and courage and not being fearful. There was no wringing of the hands and what are we going to do? There was no discouragement. There was no worry and bothersome in like the 10 spies who said, we can't do it. At this point, they moved forward and they had that kind of strength, and we all need that in our life. So the first thing that I would say to you this evening is be strong and of good courage and fear not. We have to have that spiritual strength to move forward and do what God wants us to do. Turn with me now to the end of the book of Joshua. Of course, we know by this time when we turn to the end of the book of Joshua, and this reading is a little bit more lengthy. We're going to read just about all of chapter 23 and 24. And by the way, I would encourage us to, let's get our Bibles and look at these things. Some of these readings are a little bit longer than others, but we're going to read chapter 23 and 24. By the time we come to this part of the Bible story, of course, the Israelites have gone in and conquered the land. They've conquered the land, the first part of Joshua. They have divided up the land, the last part of Joshua, and now they're living and settling in the land. And that promise that Moses made, the Lord will be with you, that has been fulfilled. And now we're at the end of this period of time where Joshua is about to die. We're going to read that in just a minute. What does he say? What does he say? What is a good thing to say to someone when you're about to depart from them? Some of the greatest things have to do with encouraging people to have a strong relationship with God. Moses said, be strong and of good courage, don't fear. What did Joshua say? Well, let's read Joshua 23, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass after many days, when Jehovah had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, and Joshua was old and well stricken in years, that Joshua called for all Israel and their elders and for the heads and for their judges and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and well stricken in years, and ye have seen all that Jehovah your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For Jehovah your God, He it is that hath fought for you. That's exactly what Moses promised would happen back in Deuteronomy 31, and that came to pass. God fought for Israel. Verse 4, behold, I have allotted unto you these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun. And Jehovah your God, He will thrust them out from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and you shall possess their land, and Jehovah your God, as Jehovah your God spake unto you. Therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow down unto yourselves, bow down yourselves unto them, but cleave unto Jehovah your God as you have done unto this day. For Jehovah hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath stood before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for Jehovah your God, He it is that fighteth for you, as he spake unto you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love Jehovah your God. Else, if you do it all, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that Jehovah your God will no more drive these nations from out of your sight, but they shall be a snare and a trap unto you, and a scourge in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which Jehovah your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which Jehovah your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. Not one thing hath failed thereof. And it shall come to pass that as all the good things are come upon you, of which Jehovah your God spake unto you, so will Jehovah bring upon you all the evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land, which Jehovah your God hath given you. When you transgress the covenant of Jehovah your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods, and bow down yourselves to them, then will the anger of Jehovah be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land, which he hath given unto you. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith Jehovah the God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt of old time beyond the river, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from beyond the river, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Jacob Mount Seir to possess it. And Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did in the midst thereof. And afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and with horsemen under the Red Sea. And when they cried unto Jehovah, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness many days. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites that dwelt beyond the Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you possessed their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over the Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Girgashite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I gave you a land whereof thou hast not labored, and cities which you built not, and you dwell therein, of vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do you eat. Now therefore fear Jehovah, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served before the river, and in Egypt, and serve ye Jehovah. And if it seem evil unto you to serve Jehovah, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the rivers, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. And the people answered and said, Far be it from us that we should forsake Jehovah to serve other gods. For Jehovah our God, he it is that brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and that did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the peoples through the midst of whom we passed. And Jehovah drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites that dwelt in the land. Therefore we also will serve Jehovah, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, You cannot serve Jehovah, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. If ye forsake Jehovah and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you evil and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, No, but we will serve Jehovah. And Joshua said unto the people, You are witness against yourselves, that you have chosen you, Jehovah, to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, he said, the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto Jehovah, the God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, Jehovah our God we will serve, and unto his voice we will hearken. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a great stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of Jehovah. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it hath heard all the words of Jehovah which he spake unto us, and it shall be therefore a witness against you, lest you deny your God. So Jehovah sent the people away, every man unto his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Jehovah, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, on the north of the mountain of Gaash. And Israel served Jehovah all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and had known all the work of Jehovah that he had wrought for Israel. That's a lengthy reading, but it is Joshua's farewell address. And the thing that I would like for us to consider this evening by way of a main point would be chapter 24 and verse 14. Serve Jehovah in sincerity and in truth. The first thing that I would encourage you this evening is be strong and of good courage. The second thing that I would encourage you, brethren, is serve Jehovah in sincerity and in truth. We find that different places. For example, Jesus said in John chapter 4 to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's a combination of the right heart, the right attitude with the scriptural pattern. In sincerity, serve God in sincerity, a pure heart, a pure mind, not divided. The sincerity here is focused on God and not false gods. In sincerity and in truth. And we find that as a theme in this farewell address. Don't serve other gods. Serve God in sincerity and in truth. Think about how this congregation got started. How did this congregation get started? This congregation got started by individuals wanting to follow the truth of the New Testament pattern. They were with others who weren't doing that in this town, and they pulled away and they wanted to start that. Bob Bunting comes and encourages them along those lines. I would say keep doing that. Don't stray from that, because other churches of Christ are. Other churches of Christ are leaving the pattern. They're leaving the truth. They're going after other kinds of things. Keep doing that service to God that is in sincerity and in truth. That's very important. Follow the New Testament pattern and be sincere in that. Look at chapter 23 and verse 11. Chapter 23 and verse 11, Take good heed therefore of yourselves that you love Jehovah your God. It really is a message where Joshua is saying, love God, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Don't go after other things. And those other things are appealing. Those other things are glamorous. Those other things are going to be common in the land where you're at, these other gods, but don't go after that. Keep your eyes focused on serving God, love Him, and serve Him with sincerity and in truth. And that is a great admonition, and I would leave you with that same admonition. Look at chapter 23 and verse 6. It deals with this. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. It takes courage. It takes courage just simply to follow the Bible. We're in a world where people don't want to do that, including some members of the church. And so you're pressured. Well, if you want to be contemporary, and if you want to be modern, and if you want this, and if you want that. No, it takes courage just to simply follow the Bible. And so Joshua has a great farewell address. And so I would say to you, fear Jehovah. Look at chapter 24 and verse 14. I wanted to make a point about this. When Moses gave his farewell address, he said, fear not. Look at what Joshua says in chapter 24 and verse 14. He says, fear. Is that a contradiction? No, these are two different things. Moses was talking about don't be scared. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Don't be scared to go and face the future. And you're going to face some challenging things in the future. Don't be scared about that. Here, it's the idea of respect God. So it's fear in a different sense. It's respect and reverence God. And serve Him in sincerity and in truth. It takes both. It takes the right attitude, the sincere heart, and it takes the scriptural pattern. Some focus on one and not the other. It takes both. And so I would leave you with that admonition that Joshua left with the children of Israel. Serve God, fear God, respect God, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Keep doing that as this congregation always has done. Turn with me now to the end of the book of 1 Chronicles. The end of the book of 1 Chronicles. When you look at the latter part of 1 Chronicles, beginning in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, you get to a portion of the book of 1 Chronicles that can get kind of tedious. It can get very detailed. It might get dry in your reading. It's just basically David. He's giving the pattern on how the temple is to be built and the service of the temple and what men are to do what. And it runs for several chapters there. And it might get a little tedious, but when you read this, we come now to the end. If you'll turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I want to start reading in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. He gets down to the end of the pattern of the tabernacle and how everything is supposed to be built. He wanted to build God a house. You remember that? And God said, it's not going to be built in your day. You're a man of war. Your son is going to build a house. David really wanted to build God a house. And so what God did was, through the Holy Spirit, God gave him the pattern of the tabernacle, but he wouldn't actually, the temple, but he would not actually build it. Solomon would. So at the end of all of this, David is giving the pattern and the commandments on what men are to do what in the service and how the temple is to be built. I want to pick up the reading in 1 Chronicles 28. And again, we're going to read all the way chapter 28 and 29 for the most part. So let's read together. This is a great farewell address, and I would like to pull out a few things for you brethren this evening. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 1, and David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that served the king by course, and the captains of the thousands, and the captains of hundreds, and the rulers over all the substance of possessions, and the king and his sons with the officers and the mighty men, even all the mighty men of valor unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, it was in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of Jehovah and for the footstool of our God. And I had made ready for the building. But God said to me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou art a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, Jehovah, the God of Israel, chose me out of all the house of the father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be prince, and in the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he took pleasure in me to make me a king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for Jehovah hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Jehovah over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and mine ordinances, as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of Jehovah, and in the audience of our God, observe and seek out all the commandments of Jehovah your God, that you may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For Jehovah searcheth all the hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for Jehovah hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave Solomon his son the pattern of the porch of the temple of the house thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper rooms thereof, and of the inner chambers thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat. in the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit for the courts of the house of Jehovah, and for all the chambers round about, and for the treasuries of the house of God, and for the treasuries of the dedicated things, also for the courts of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of Jehovah, and for all the vessels of the service in the house of Jehovah, of gold by weight, for the vessels of gold, for all the vessels of every kind of service, of silver, for all the vessels of silver by weight, for all vessels of every kind of service, by weight also for the candlesticks of gold and for the lamps thereof and of gold, and by the weight for every candlestick and for the lamps thereof and for the candlesticks of silver. Silver by weight for every candlestick and for the lamps thereof according to the use of every candlestick. And the gold by weight for the tables of showbread, for every table, and silver for the tables of silver, and for the flesh hooks and the basins and the cups of pure gold, and for the golden bowls by weight of every bowl, and for the silver bowls by weight for every bowl, and for the altar of incense refined by gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot, even the cherubim that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of Jehovah. And this, said David, have I been made to understand in writing from the hand of Jehovah, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for Jehovah God, even my God, is with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until all the work for the service of the house of Jehovah be finished. Notice how that reads very similar to Deuteronomy 31. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. God is going to be with thee, just like going into the land of Canaan. So the same would be with Solomon building the temple. Verse 21, and behold, there are the courses of the priest and of the Levites for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee in all manner of work every willing man that hath skill for any manner of service. Also for the captains of the people will be holy at thy commandment. And David the king said unto all the assembly, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for Jehovah God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, and the iron for the things of iron, and the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, stones for the inlaid work, and of divers colors, and all manners of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, also, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, seeing that I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver, I give it unto the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, of 7,000 talents of refined silver, wherewith to overlay the walls of the house, of gold for the things of gold, of silver for the things of silver, of all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. Who then offereth willingly to consecrate himself this day unto Jehovah? Then the princes of the fathers' houses and the princes of the tribes of Israel, of the captains of thousands, of hundreds, with the rulers over the king's work, offered willingly, and they gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and of iron and 100,000 talents. And they with whom precious stones were found, gave them to the treasure of the house of Jehovah under the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to Jehovah. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed Jehovah before all the assembly. And David said, Blessed be thou, O Jehovah, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Jehovah, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Jehovah, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou rulest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as our fathers were. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Jehovah our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thy holy name cometh of thy hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people that are present here offer willingly unto thee. O Jehovah, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. And David said to all the assembly, Now bless Jehovah your God. And all the assembly blessed Jehovah, the God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and worshipped Jehovah and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto Jehovah and offered burnt offerings unto Jehovah. On the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before Jehovah on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time, and anointed him unto Jehovah to be prince, and Zadok to be priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of Jehovah as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the princes and the mighty men and the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And Jehovah magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Now David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age and full of days, riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now, at the end of David's life, he dies and he wants to say something to all the people, and he wants to say something to Solomon his son. He's given through the Holy Spirit the pattern of the tabernacle or the temple, and he wants to pass that on to the people. What impresses me is a couple of places. Look at chapter 28 and verse 19. What I'd like to bring out is the importance of following the pattern. David says, I have been made to understand in writing from the hand of Jehovah even all the works of this pattern. Notice that there is a pattern, number one. And number two, notice that it comes from the hand of the Lord. It's God's pattern. It wasn't David's pattern. This was given to him by the Lord. We know back in verse 12 that it was by the Spirit, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, verse 12. This was an inspired pattern. David didn't sit down with his own engineers and his own architects and come up with how this was going to be designed. It was given to him through the Holy Spirit. It was a divine pattern. And so what I would like to say by way of a final farewell address from David is follow the pattern. Follow the pattern. It's interesting. We did a lot of reading. Look at chapter 29, verses 1 through 5, where David said that he saved up his own gold and silver and brass, and this was coming from his own personal store, and he wanted to give it over. What would it matter if he gave it all over and the pattern wasn't followed? And then we read in chapter 29, verses 6 through 9, that a bunch of princes come and they willingly, the free will offering. But what does it matter if you're not going to follow the pattern? It doesn't matter if you save it all up. It doesn't matter if you voluntarily give it over if you're not going to follow the pattern. And so I would encourage you, good brethren, to keep following the pattern on the work and the worship and the organization of the church. We live in a time of transition and change, including among churches of Christ. And more are leaving the pattern. They're not wanting to follow the pattern. And I would encourage you to do that. Chapter 28 and verse 8, when he talks to his son, David says, Observe and seek out all the commandments of Jehovah your God, that you may possess the good in the land. Follow God's word. Follow this pattern. Don't stray from the pattern. And I would encourage you. I think about Paul's statement to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. Don't ever change that. People may want to come in and change it. Other churches around may want it changed. You say no to that. We're going to follow the pattern. And what a great attitude that is. There's some other good things that are said here about offering willingly. There's some great things said in chapter 29, verses 10 through 19 about God Himself. Just go back and read that again. When I read that, I think, what if someone like a president would say that today, how great God is and all of that? That would be a great speech to make. But chapter 29, 10 through 19 about the greatness of God. There's some good things said there, but I just wanted to pull out that one point, and that is, Solomon, I've been given this pattern by God. You follow that. Do not stray from that. And I would encourage you, brethren, along the same lines. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 13. I'm sorry, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Let's look at three examples in the New Testament of individuals who gave what we might call a farewell address. And I would like to pull out some things for our admonition this evening. First of all, from Jesus. When we come to John chapter 13, if you look at John chapter 13 and verse 30, I wanted to get the context here first. John chapter 13 and verse 30. He then, having received the sop or the soup, went out straightway, and it was night. That's Judas who left to go betray Jesus. Now, John 13 verse 30. They're in the upper room. They've been in this upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. We don't know exactly where the house was located. Some think that it was in the southwest side of town and over near where the trials are going to take place before Herod and Pilate and so forth, possibly in that area, or at least the trial before Herod. And then the trial before Pilate would be up in the temple complex where the Romans had their headquarters. But they're in this upper room. What takes place there is the washing of the disciples' feet, the partaking of the Passover, and then the institution of the Lord's Supper. So they're in this upper room, okay? Verse 30, he, having received the sop, went out, and straightway it was night. Now look at verse 31. And when therefore he was gone out, Judas left, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And God shall glorify him in himself, and straightway shall he glorify him. Talking about his coming death on the cross is going to bring glory to God. Little children, Jesus talking to the 11, Judas is gone. Yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and I, as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you. Now, starting in verse 34, just if you hold your hand there and flip over all of chapter 14, all of chapter 15, all of chapter 16, all of chapter 17 is Jesus walking with his disciples through town, wherever this house was located, all the way through town, and he's going to go somewhere in town up to what is called the northeast part of Jerusalem, where you cross over the brook Kidron. Look at chapter 18 and verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, what words? The rest of 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. That's a lot of words. When he had spoken those words to his disciples, he passed over the brook Kidron, where was a garden in which he entered himself and his disciples. And then that's where Judas is going to come up and kiss him and betray him. So the rest of 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 is Jesus walking from the upper room up to the northeast side of Jerusalem, where he crosses over the brook Kidron. Along the way is what we call this 14, 15, 16, and 17. Somewhere along the way, in chapter 17 and verse 1, he probably stops. Verse 1, these things spake Jesus, and lifting up his eyes into heaven, he said, and this is the prayer in chapter 17 for the disciples' unity. I don't think Jesus would have kept walking. He may have, I don't know. But he may have stopped for a moment, looked up into heaven, and prayed this prayer. But these chapters are Jesus leaving the upper room and going to the brook Kidron. Now, there's a lot of great things that are said, but this is basically his farewell address. He's going to be betrayed, then later that night on trial, he's going to go to the cross and die. So he wants to say some final things to his disciples. And there's a lot of great things. I wish we could read all of these chapters. A lot of them deal with things that would not necessarily be related to us. The things that deal with the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to guide them into all the truth. Those things would not be pertinent to us today. Those were things for the disciples only. However, there's one thing that is interesting to me. It's at the beginning of this speech, it's right in the middle of it, and it's right at the very end. And that is, Jesus tells his disciples to love one another. It's really interesting. Look with me now at chapter 13, verse 34. Chapter 13, verse 34. Where I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, this is Jesus' farewell address as they're walking through town on that Passover night. What's the first thing he says? Chapter 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now, if you stop right there and think, how in any way, shape, or form can that be new? Because from the law of Moses on forward, there's always been the command to love one another. And to love your neighbor as yourself. That's Leviticus chapter 18. There's always been the command to love each other. In what way is it new? The word here, new, is new in quality or kind. It's something different. Well, what is it? Verse 34, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. Love with a sacrificial love. I'm about to lay down my life for you. You've always been taught to love one another. I'm giving you a new commandment. You love even as I have loved you. He always sacrificed for them. And so, brethren, I would add this to my farewell address, and that is love one another as Jesus has loved us. Sacrificial love. Love is not a word. It's not a sentiment. It's not just a feeling. It's a sacrifice. If you will sacrifice for each other, you will grow and be unified. And you will continue to prosper as God wants you to prosper. Look at verse 35. By this, that is a sacrificial love, shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one toward another. Again, it's not just saying I love you, and we need to say that. But it's not just saying it. It's not a word. It's not a feeling. It's an action that shows itself in serving and laying down. Now, that's the very first thing out of Jesus' mouth. Now, in chapter 14, he has some things to say about keeping your eyes on heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Come with me now to chapter 15. Come with me to chapter 15 and verse 9. He has some things about bearing fruit, which is a good lesson. But right in the middle of this speech, look at chapter 15 and verse 9. Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now look at this. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. He's going to go on to explain this. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. Sacrificial love. So love one another, verse 12, even as I have loved you. Look at verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. What kind of love, Jesus? Sacrificial, giving, laying down your life for somebody else. Would you lay down your life for someone else in this room? If the answer is yes, then it's the kind of love that we have one toward another. Now, come with me to the very end of this farewell address. Turn with me to chapter 17 and verse 26. Chapter 17 and verse 26. This is Jesus had been speaking to them in what we call 13, 14, 15, 16. 17, verse 1, he looks up into heaven. This is really a prayer. Now, his disciples would have heard him praying if he was praying out loud. But this is a prayer for his disciples that they be unified. But look at the last thing he says, or the last thing he prays. Verse 25, chapter 17, 25. O righteous Father, the world knew thee not, but I knew thee. And these, that's the disciples, these knew that thou didst send me. And I made known unto them, the disciples, thy name. That's his authority, his word. And I will make it known that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them and I in them. That's the last thing he says. God, the love that you've had toward me, I want it to be in them. So really at the beginning and in the middle and at the end, love one another as I have loved you and the way the Father has loved me. And brethren, I would say that to you. Just love one another as Jesus has loved us. And that will take us a long way in proper service to God. Turn with me now to Acts chapter 20. I'd like to look at Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. What's the setting here? We're going to start reading in verse 17. Paul has finished three preaching trips. We call them missionary journeys. Three preaching trips from Antioch. This is at the end of his third preaching trip. And he wants to be back in Jerusalem for Pentecost, chapter 20, verse 16. He's also carrying with him some money for needy Jewish brethren in Judea. So he wants to take those funds to those needy Jewish brethren. So he's trying to get back to Jerusalem. Rather than, he's over in the Aegean Sea, rather than taking a land trip to walk into Ephesus, he wants to meet the elders out there by the seacoast because he wants to continue taking that boat trip and get to Jerusalem. He doesn't want to take the time to walk in and meet them and so forth. So, can you come meet me at Miletus, which is a coastal town? Look at verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. He wants to talk with them one last time on his way back to Jerusalem. Now, this is a farewell address, if you will. He loved the church at Ephesus. He worked hard there, Acts 18, 19. He loved these elders, these brethren. He cared for them. You can tell from like verse 31, I was with you for the space of 3 years. I ceased not to admonish everyone night and day with tears, with tears. He loved Ephesus. This was a work that was dear to him. And so you can see why. One last time, I'd like to talk with these elders. Can you come meet me? So let's pick up the reading at verse 17. These men from the church at Ephesus come to this coastal town to meet him. And when they were come, verse 18, he said unto them, you yourselves know, he's talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, you yourselves know that from the first day that I set foot in Asia, Acts 18, 19, when I first came and established the church there at Ephesus, after what manner I was with you all the time, serving the Lord with all lowliness of mind and with tears. Paul loved. This was a hard work, but he loved it. Demetrius the silversmith, that was a hard thing to go through. And there was other problems there. But he loved these brethren with tears and with trials which befell me by the plots of the Jews. How I shrank not from declaring unto you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or except that the Holy Spirit testifieth unto me that in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me or await me. And we know from reading the rest of the book of Acts that there's going to be a lot of times where Paul is imprisoned and kept confined and so forth. And we see in the rest of the book of Acts how that's carried out all the way until he goes to Rome. Verse 24, but I hold not my life of any account as dear unto myself, so that I may accomplish my course in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all among whom I sent went about preaching the kingdom shall see my face no more. This was his farewell address to them. Wherefore, I testify unto you this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. I would stop and make a point here just by way of a personal reference. We're not actually going to mention this in detail, but I just wanted to say that I've tried to do that the whole time that I've been here. I've tried to preach the whole counsel of God. And I've tried not to shrink back from anything that was profitable, anything that was helpful. I've tried to do that through the years. And any time that I have failed that, please forgive me. But I've tried to do that through the years. And back in verse 20, he said publicly and from house to house, declaring unto you anything that was profitable. I didn't shrink back from that. Sometimes, you know, there are things that are difficult to say from the pulpit and maybe in somebody's home. But I've tried to preach the whole counsel of God. But what I want to leave with you this evening is verse 28 and following. What did he say to these brethren by way of one final admonition? What did he say? Look at this, verse 28. Take heed unto yourselves, you elders, and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, the local church there at Ephesus, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men shall arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Wherefore, watch ye, remembering that by the space of 3 years I cease not to admonish everyone night and day with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. In all things I gave you an example, that so laboring you ought to help the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the word which he had spoken, that they should behold his face no more. And they brought him on his way unto the ship. What a beautiful sight to see grown men. Grown men hugging Paul, kissing Paul. They're just so, they love each other so much. And then they send him on their way. But I wanted to leave you with this thought, brethren. And that is found in verse 31. Watch ye, watch. I would encourage you to be watchful. Guard the congregation. And there are no elders here. I know that. But in the absence of that, we can still guard the congregation. Look at verse 28. Take heed unto yourselves. I know that after I depart, grievous wolves. And I'm not saying that I'm in the same situation as Paul. I can't know the future like Paul does. I'm saying, though, that we need to be watchful. We need to be concerned and caring. We don't want someone to come in and take the flock away. Now, in their case, look at verse 30. One of the problems was from among your own selves. Maybe among the eldership or the leadership down the road, some of them would cause a problem. But my point is, be watchful. Take care to really guard the flock. Anyone can come in at any time from any background, any persuasion, including members of the church, and can come in and do things that harm the flock. So please be watchful. Please be careful of that. And what always builds us up, look at verse 32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. What's going to keep you strong is following God's word. And be watchful. Always watching when someone comes in. There are many people that come in and they want the best for the local congregation. There are also those, just being realistic, that will come in and they don't want the best for the local congregation. And so you have to be watchful of that and take care of that if that need comes up. And be vigilant like a shepherd would be over a flock. And then finally, one last address and then the lesson is yours. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, this is not so much a formal address like the other ones were. The other ones were quite formal. We read this evening where someone would actually call the people together. Moses called Israel together, or Joshua called the heads of the... It's an actual formal address. I want to speak to you one last time. We saw that in the case of Paul. This is not so much a formal address as it is a letter. But in the letter, Peter does say, this is my last time that I'm talking with you before I die. And so I wanted to put it into the category, if you will, of farewell addresses. And I just want to read a very small portion of this. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12 for our last point. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Peter apparently knew that he was about to die. This is toward the end of his life, and he wants to say this matter. Wherefore, 2 Peter 1:12. Wherefore, I shall be ready always to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and are established in the truth which is with you. And I think it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, that is the fleshly body that I have, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle cometh swiftly. He knew something about how that he was about to die. We're not told how he knew that or what the details were of that. But he knew, knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle, my body, cometh swiftly, even as our Lord Jesus Christ signified unto me. Jesus had said to him a few things about his death in John chapter 21. Yea, I will give diligence that at every time you may be able, after my decease, after I die, to call these things to remembrance. What Peter wanted to say is this. Back up to verse 13. I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And I would close with that same thought. I want you to be stirred up to serve the Lord, to be active. But the way you're stirred up is just by always going back and remembering those Bible lessons that we've had through the years. Read your Bible, study your Bible, go back and be reminded of Bible truths that you already know, already have, and that's what stirs you up. Stirring up doesn't come by having some social or recreational program. Stirring up doesn't come by fancy colors and lights and having some. Stirring up simply comes by remembering every day the truths that we've been taught and acting upon those truths. Look at verse 12. He says, I want to put you in remembrance, though you know them and are established in the truth. You have the truth. You've had the truth the whole time I've been here. You have it now. Just stay with the truth. And you're established in that. You know what it is. And each time you go back and remember the truth, remember the Bible lessons that we've talked about, it stirs you up to greater service. And so look at verse 15. After I die, all I want you to do is to be able to remember these things. And what a great admonition. Don't remember me, but remember the truths of God's Word. And that's a great admonition. So I would encourage you to be stirred up. How? By putting you in remembrance of Bible truths. Well, brethren, I appreciate the time that I've had to regularly labor and work with you. All of you have always been supportive of me and my family through the years. And you have a dear place in our heart. We love each and every one of you. You're dear to each and every one of us. And it's been, I hope, a service and a work that has been pleasing most of all to the Lord. So, in the words of Moses, I would say, be strong and of good courage. Don't fear. Of the words of Joshua, I would say, serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Of the words of David, I would say, follow the pattern. Don't stray from the pattern. Have a perfect heart, which means complete, that all you want is just simply to follow the pattern of God's Word. And we know that Solomon did that for a while. Later in his life, he strayed from that, didn't he? But he did that for a while, and that served him well. In the words of Jesus, I would say, love one another. Love one another as Jesus loved us in that sacrificial love. In the words of Paul, I would say, take heed and be watchful. Be careful. Be vigilant. You always have to do that. I wish we didn't have to do that. I wish we didn't have to worry about someone coming in and saying and doing something that's going to be a problem. But that's not realistic. And Paul wanted to be realistic. He loved those brethren. So he warned them, take heed and be watchful and be careful. Look out for the flock. And then with Peter's words, I would say, be stirred up by remembering Bible truths and by always going back and standing on those truths that you are established in. You know them and you are established in them. And that's what keeps us going in the future. I appreciate not only your time and attention this evening, but for the past 21 years. I don't know how many hours is that? How many hours of preaching is that? In 21 years. But you've been patient, you've been encouraging, and I've enjoyed studying with you and learning and sharing with you and learning from you. Always learn from the men who teach classes and the Wednesday night talks and the fifth Sunday preaching or whatever the case might be. So I've enjoyed not only preaching but also enjoyed learning. And we bring that to a close, and I trust that your work in the future will be good. I would encourage you to support Tal and Dana, and as I know that you will, and that'll be a good relationship together. We look forward to working with the brethren at Warfield Boulevard. As I said earlier, there will be challenges. There will be things that will be encouraging. There will be things that we have to work on, just like in any congregation. But with the right attitude and with the right Word of God, we can move forward. We want to all go to heaven. We want to be there together. We want to hear our names called when the roll is called up yonder. So I would encourage us all to be faithful to the Lord. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel. You know what you need to do. The water is ready. The garments are ready. We can baptize you into Christ. Or if you need to come back in some way and make something known where we can pray together and encourage you along those lines, let's do that. But that would be my farewell address, would just simply be those great statements from men in God's Word who have made farewell addresses. I don't think I can improve upon that, so I wanted to borrow from them this evening, hopefully, to encourage you. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you in some way, if we can encourage you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?